Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart with our Denver Bible Church update. You know, the Bible is fascinating in that it is the only major religious book in the world that claims to tell us where we've come from, where we've come from, and where we are headed. For example, where all the nations of the earth came from. Well, according to the story of the Bible, if you go back 4,500 years to Noah's flood, Noah had three sons, and from those sons, all the nations of the earth came from their children and grandchildren. And then it tells you which of the sons, which of their descendants became which nations. And so that's actually checkable with genetic science. And the Bible is like that in so many ways that it makes statements about our origins. And a lot of those statements are, we can test them. For example, that Noah's flood was global and the sediments on the surface of the earth are all a result of the flood. Now, if that's true, one of the things we should not find then as you go back into sedimentary layers are civilizations. You shouldn't find civilizations in sediments because all of mankind was wiped out in the flood. So you're not going to find sediments that date before the flood or at the time of the flood that are covering up, sort of like a volcanic flow that covers up a city. You're not going to find that in ancient sediments. Also, the woolly mammoths that froze in Siberia and Alaska, standing on the ground, some of the first fatalities of the flood, well, beneath their feet, when we excavate those today in the last century or two, when you excavate them, you'll find no sedimentary strata beneath the woolly mammoths, no fossils beneath them, because that's the first layer. There was not a billion years of evolution leading up to the woolly mammoths. There wasn't 100 million years. There was not 50 million years. There were not many layers of sedimentary strata, even though they lived in a temperate climate. They ate buttercups, and we found those flowers in their mouths and stomachs and throats. So the Bible makes statements that we could compare the world we live in and see if our observations contradict the Bible or if they're consistent. And one area that's of study that's fascinating is looking at ancient cultures and their belief systems and seeing if they have any relationship to Genesis. You know, the Genesis account of creation and the flood up to the Tower of Babel before the languages were confused. And for example, in Chinese, the word for boat, what's the word for boat in Chinese? Well, it's a vessel like a bowl or something with eight mouths. Why eight mouths? Well, Noah's flood, there was Noah and his wife and three kids and their wives, eight mouths to feed on the ark. And so the Chinese symbol for boat is a vessel with eight mouths. And what's a tempter in Chinese pictographs? Well, a tempter is a garden with two trees. And of course, the Garden of Eden with the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so you could read an entire book of Genesis discovery on, wow, the Chinese language and how the Chinese language was influenced by the events of Genesis. And the same thing is true with Greek mythology. You know, Greek mythology, they got rid of the creator, and so they deified their own ancestors. So in Greek mythology, Adam and Eve, that's Zeus and his wife Hera. That was Adam and Eve. And you find that they had two kids who became enemies, Cain and Abel, and you find, well, not Abel was killed, and then Seth. And you find the story of Genesis in Greek mythology. And the Bible tells us where we've come from, how to understand the past, so we could know where we're headed. Now, stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with them.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYAR, 1-800-836-9278. Now, do we have our guest online? Okay, I'm going to the phones. There's a lot happening in California. And yesterday, the Survivors Group were protesting in San Francisco about the homosexual marriages. And we've got Keith Mason on the line. Keith, can you bring us up to date?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, no problem. Well, as of today, we decided to repeat our actions of yesterday, and we decided to block the door once again. And it turned out quite well. 11 of us blockaded the door. Nobody got arrested this time.
All right. Now, yesterday, how many were blocking the door when two went to jail, my son Nathaniel?
Ten people blocked the door yesterday.
And there was one couple that at least for a time you guys kept out, right? That's what I heard.
Yeah, for a short time. Two of the gay guys didn't get through for a short time, which was good.
Yeah, right. You know, we're trying to do what's right, and in this case, uphold the law even.
Right.
And so that was 10 yesterday, and two went to jail. My son, Nathaniel Enyar, and who else?
Michael Markovich.
Markovich.
He's the president of Repent America, which is actually the group that we were doing this under. Him and I actually led this protest. And he also created a website some of your listeners might know. It's
bushrevealed.com. Bushrevealed.com. Very interesting website.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so those are the two. So my son gets arrested with a famous guy.
Yeah.
How do you like that? And so anyway, then today you guys went again to, this is the city hall?
This is the city hall in San Francisco, yes.
Right. And 11 of you sat in the doorway to block the entrance so that they couldn't do something perverse and illegal, happens to be, and marry homosexual couples.
That's right.
And so what happened today?
So today we set up with the banners and just with the message in front of the city hall again. We had a press conference at 8:00. We thinking, you know, we just really need to do that again. That was amazing. We have a lot more media out here now. By the way, we've hit international news with what we did.
Yeah, could you tell me? I've heard there's been some coverage. What do you know? Who's picked this up?
CNN International has it. So that's airing all across the world. That's mm-hmm. what I know of internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the big books definitely have it on their websites. Fox News, CBS, ABC. Yahoo, you can go just about anywhere in news, they have pictures of us, and they have different video clips of us, some of the major media outlets
mm-hmm.
to kind of show what we were doing and when we were doing it. Headline News is doing, it was their top story for a while today.
Wow, on CNN.
So it's pretty exciting. Yeah, I really think our words got out there, And our hope was to be an example to Christians around the country. You know, they're doing it. Monday morning, they're going to start doing this in Chicago. They're already doing it. They started today in New Mexico to start putting these licenses out. There was a ruling today at 2:00 by another San Francisco judge. By the way, from what I've heard, he's one of the only few openly gay judges in the San Francisco area.
Right.
He ruled that they can continue to do these things.
Hey, Keith Mason with Survivors at Yahoo News right now, yahoo.com/news.
Yeah.
They've got a story by the Associated Press. I'm just looking it up here. And let's see. About 25 anti-gay marriage protesters later blocked the door of the county clerk's office, lying down in front of the line and singing religious songs. Gays and lesbians responded by belting out the Star Spangled Banner. Until sheriff's deputies escorted the protesters out, no arrests were made.
That's right. Except for the number part. I think the media was counting the police officers, because at one point they got down on their knees to pull us out there.
Uh-huh.
So I think at one point they were on their knees as well.
And it looked
they weren't singing hymns with us, but they looked like they were part of us. So they possibly got the extra numbers from with the cops kneeling down. I don't know. It's speculation.
Well, that's funny because for years we'll do a protest in an abortionist neighborhood, and we'll get three cop cars, four cop cars, and a total of six or seven police officers, and it just adds to the whole effect of protest.
That's right.
So, the police are often helpful.
Definitely. And with this demonstration, we walked in and we circled around to pray in the rotunda area of the city hall. Immediately when we started that, we were swarmed by media. We had cameras in our face. They were getting all of our prayers on tape. And actually, it took us a while to get back to the area to sit and to block because so many cameras were in our face.
Hey, Keith, at CNN.com, the main photograph on their website has the caption, "Repent America members chant this is wrong at couples waiting for marriage licenses."
That's right.
And so that was you guys.
That was us.
All right.
At one point, we started to chant, "This is wrong," pointing out what the homosexuals were doing.
And they've got a photograph here of Jason Storms. He's my good friend's son, Grant Storms, the radio.
Grant Storms, that's right. I was on his show earlier today.
Radio talk show host down in New Orleans, WSHO, 800 AM. So here's CNN. Yeah, CNN is covering it more extensively than they've got on Yahoo right now.
Yeah, hey, they were there.
Good for you guys to have the courage to go right into the belly of the beast at the gates of hell and stand up for what's right.
Yeah, no, I was appalled. I could not believe when we arrived at San Francisco that there was no other Christians there. There was nobody. I mean, It was such a huge deal. How can Christians today even scoff at what we did? How can they say that this is something that they can be apathetic about, like abortion or like any other social issue, all the flaws that we find with George Bush, the president that they voted for? I mean, how far will they go? I mean, will they let it go to rounding up Christians and killing us in the streets?
Well,
and then they say something because they're going to get killed or what? I mean,
maybe. We'll let it go to where they're killing unborn babies. Someday, maybe it'll get that bad.
Oh, it's there.
Oh, it's there already. That's
it's
right.
It's there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've let it go.
Keith Mason, if you could hang on, and we'll finish up right after the break. If you got to go, we understand. Oh, wait a minute. I've got another. Oh, good. Very good. Okay, I got a moment before the commercial comes. And then, Keith, if you got the time, hang on till after this break, or if you can hand off the phone to someone else in your group so that we can get a little bit more information. But, hey, you know, sometimes you look at the younger generation, you look at your kids, and you see your kid arrested and going to jail, and you think, what's going on? Well, in this case, I'm proud of my son, Nathaniel. He's standing up for the gospel, the truth. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the Plot Manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. Hey, we are creeping along with our February telethon goal. We're up to $2,400 of our $4,000 goal. $2,400. And so that's, we're getting there. We're more than halfway. And if you can help out with a gift of $50, $100, now, there might be somebody with $500. That brings us up to $29. We'd be so close. So if you can help, please call us 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. After the show, I will be in the studio taking calls for a half hour from anyone who would like to help out with our telethon or place an order. If you place an order during the telethon, we'll count that toward the telethon goals. If you order, for example, a monthly subscription, we'll put that toward our goal of $1,000 in new monthly pledges. And so far, we're at $220 in new monthly pledges. So we've got a bit of a way to go, but you can help out if you can call now during the show. Our call screener will be happy to take your information. Or you could go to the web at kgov.com, kgov.com. And you could go to the store in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage and either donate, make a monthly pledge, or purchase materials, or give a one-time monthly gift toward our $4,000 goal. We could use your help. Please do help. All right, we're back. And in one moment, we're going to go to the survivors again out in California. But that's where Christians, you know, pro-life Christians fight abortion. That's, you know, they're pro-life Christian activists. But they ended up also opposing evolution in the public schools and socialism and homosexuality. And they're fully involved in the spiritual battle. And why are they fully involved in the spiritual battle? Because when you're fighting abortion, you get trained for spiritual warfare because you're on the front lines. And once in a while in a war, the front moves. And if for some weeks or months the front is fighting homosexual marriage, well then when you're fighting the war, you move along to where the battle is. Some groups don't want to step one inch outside of their specialty. So if they're against, say, evolution, they might be afraid to appear at an anti-homosexual event. But, you know, I'm thrilled that survivors are there. Hey, Keith Mason, like you said, if you guys weren't there, maybe no Christians would be represented.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's what I found, and that's what my fear was. When I heard of the issue at first, I was shocked. And I said, well, surely someone will be there. And as I followed the story more and more, I didn't see anyone there. And I said, well, if we don't go, who will? Mm. If we don't do this, who will? Mm-hmm. And you're right. You know, I'm the director of a pro-life ministry, but I'm a Christian first. And we fight the battle of abortion, but we fight that battle on so many different other fronts. I mean, abortion is just a byproduct of sexual immorality. So if we aren't fighting against these core issues, we're swatting at flies. We really are. Yes, my main focus is definitely to save unborn children. Mm-hmm. But I feel that, you know, my line of work has trained me to do this type of activism and to set up these events and get this national media, this national focus on our voice and what we're trying to say. So. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And so tell me, how is my son doing?
Your son is doing well. As far as I can tell, last time I talked to him, he was heading back down to Los Angeles. And as far as our plans go, we're hoping to spend the weekend. They're not doing these things, these gay marriage things, and over the weekend. So we're going back down to Los Angeles this weekend. I had a plan to Las Vegas this next week. We're strongly considering canceling that, doing high schools and colleges in the Bay Area, just so we can be up here, just to continue to have a witness here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems to be where we're at now.
Yeah, now the news from the Health and Human Services Department of California, one of their officials has stated publicly and been quoted in the media that the city of San Francisco modified the marriage form, and that every city in the state of Colorado, when someone is married, then each city sends their marriage licenses into the state to be recorded. And this official with the state of California, the Health and Human Services Department of California, told the Reuters news agency that they will not file these marriages in San Francisco because the form was altered and they don't file marriages on altered license forms.
You know, that's actually sad because actually my marriage certificate says applicant one, applicant two. I was married in California.
Oh, really?
And it does say that. And so by them saying that, by them being so cowardice to say we don't stand for these homosexual marriages, they're nullifying all marriages by the state that were done in a lawful manner.
Yeah, you know, and now
my marriage.
Now you were married in California.
That's right. You did the wedding.
Oh, I did the wedding. That's right.
I
officiate it. I perform the wedding. That sounded familiar to me. Something about
Remember, that's when you went off your diet, right?
Yeah, you're right. Now I've been back on. I was off it for a year.
Yeah.
How long you been married now?
Over a year and a half.
Year and a half. So I've been back on for about a half.
Well, not over a year and a half. I'm sorry. My wife is here. She'd
yell
at me, but
over a year. Over a year.
Yeah.
So Keith, you know what? When for them to say, "Oh, there's a typo on the form," that's not exactly the issue. The issue is that it is wrong.
Exactly.
And you've got Christian and conservative leaders in the media saying, "Well, this is wrong because it's activist judges or an activist mayor, and we have to allow the people of California to speak, and we have to uphold the law." Well, the law says you could murder unborn children. You could kill unborn children. It's not that we have to uphold the law. What if these Christian leaders were in Germany, would they uphold the law and kill the Jews?
That's right.
They'd uphold the law. And
it's God's law we need to uphold.
Yeah, it's right and wrong. When the law is wrong, you oppose it. When the mayor's wrong, you oppose it. It's not so right now we're saying, oh, we have to uphold the law. Well, in Massachusetts, the law is the homos can get married because the state high court ruled it. And so I'm tired of conservative leaders and Christian conservatives making arguments that are founded on sand rather than on the solid rock of truth. I can't stand our arguments on sand because they say, well, the people of California voted this way. Okay, and so the people of California are pro-aborts. That means we're going to defend an abortionist's right to kill babies?
Right.
Of course not. It has nothing to do with what the people want. It has to do with right and wrong and what God has revealed to us.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've used language in this event to say that this is against the law. This is not what the will of the Californians believe. Just because it's still, I mean, to some degree, it is against the law right now. And in some way, I'm using terms that people, maybe the media, maybe the mass public can understand to some degree, and that's just point in fact. I mean, it's law right now. Maybe in after March 29th, I won't be able to say that anymore because the judge ruling will be that this is okay.
Yeah,
this is
right.
In line with the law, and then
I
no longer can say that, which will be even worse.
Right, and then what you need to do is go to San Francisco and protest if anyone tries to stop homos from getting married. So if your foundation of your action is because this is the law, then you're in trouble because the law changes from day to day.
That's right.
That's why when I introduced you, I said that you guys, it turns out you're actually upholding the law, which is right in this case.
That's right.
In this case, the law happens to be right, and therefore we're trying to uphold it.
Where in the case with my pro-life work, I'm trying to break down that law. I'm working against that law. I'm working to upturn it.
Right, exactly. But I noticed in the last couple of days, all the conservatives on TV who are arguing against homosexual marriage, not a one of them, even the Christian conservatives and in the national media, not a one of them said homosexuality is wrong. It's destructive. It's sin. It's perverse. We need to turn back the tide of America's acceptance of homosexuality. All they say are things like, well, we have activist judges, and the people voted one way. Oh, and so when the people vote another way, which they do, the people are fickle. So then we conservative Christians will have to defend the right of homos to get married because the people voted for it.
That's right.
Or a judge has made it the law of the land. Once the judge rules, as long as it's according to the system, then the judge ruled. So, right. All right. So,
and that's why, you know, I feel so strongly just blessed that along with me leading this event, I had Michael, who better to speak against the inconsistencies in our government, and especially in our president. You know, I mean, he's gotten so much media over his website, bushrevealed.com. It's just amazing. And I just was overhearing him on an interview with the largest Christian radio talk station in Los Angeles. And the interview started well, but at the end, the pastor started defending Bush. And
well,
I got to watch him take him apart. I mean, these ministers, these conservative talk show hosts cannot base their arguments on the stand. They do need to start basing it on truth.
Yeah, and virtually, right, almost all Christian leaders support George Bush. Virtually all Christian radio programs. But we point out that Bush and his father, you know, they've given billions of dollars to organizations that hate God, hate Christians, are pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, and they throw us a bone and they give billions to groups like Corporation for Public Broadcasting or the NEA or on and on and on.
That's right.
And George W. Bush has appointed plenty of pro-abortion, pro-homosexual judges. He said he does not use abortion as a litmus test, and he's just as likely to appoint a pro-abortion judge as a pro-life judge.
That's right.
In fact,
right.
Most pro-life judges are not pro-life.
That's right.
They say that if the state legislature legalizes abortion, then it should be legal. That's what our pro-life Supreme Court judges say. So they're not actually pro-life. They're just pro-choice state by state.
Exactly. Well, speaking of Michael, why don't I go ahead and pass the phone off to him? He's standing right here with me. I actually kind of have to run.
All right, Keith. Thank you. And his last name is Markovich. How do you say his last name?
Markovich.
Markovich. All right.
Markovich. You know what, Bob? This has been a running joke with us while we've been doing this thing. Is I can never get his last name right.
All right, so I'll ask him.
Pass the phone to him, and he can correct me and give you the right name.
All right, thank you.
Here he is. Good evening.
Good evening. Now, the founder of BushRevealed.com is with us here at Bob and Yurt Live. Please introduce yourself, Michael.
Bob, my name is Michael Markovich. I'm the director of Repent America. We're an evangelistic ministry based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the birthplace of America.
All right. Well, Michael, maybe we could do two things. If you could first start out by giving us a bit from your perspective of what's happening in San Francisco, and then I'd like to talk to you about your website a bit.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, this is tremendously grieves my heart. When I first arrived there and I saw hundreds upon hundreds of people lined up for these gay marriage licenses, my heart just sunk, because it was another sign of the times and how our nation continues down this path of destruction.
Yeah, so you guys, were you one of the ones blocking the doors? You were. You got arrested.
Yes, there were 10 of us the first day that blocked the doors. I was one of the two of us were actually jailed. And the remainder of the people were arrested and taken outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to go to a break, Michael. I'm hoping you can hang on a bit
so we
could talk more after this break, all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, God bless you. And that website is, and I'm looking at it right now, it's bushrevealed.com. And it might be a little bit painful for those of you in the audience to listen to the show after the break here at the bottom of the hour. But, you know, George W. Bush is an enigma to so many people because, well, for example, conservative Christians are against welfare and against socialism because those things violate God's command, thou shalt not steal. Yet George W. Bush is trying to get the churches to support welfare with his faith-based programs. Why would we do that? But hold on, we'll be right back. Bob Inyard here, and welcome to those of you listening on the web at kgov.com. Hey, our web activity has been improving, and in just a half a minute, our Denver, Colorado audience will rejoin us on KLTT. But But I want to let you know, last summer we were at about 2,500 weekly visits to the website. And now we're at about 3,500 visits, not hits. There are tens of thousands of hits, but visits where people are coming to the site, staying an average of a few minutes, downloading about 250 gigabytes of data per month, listening to the show. And so you're one of them. So thank you for helping this website, kgov.com, be a success. We really appreciate it. Now tell a friend. And welcome to those listening in Colorado via KLTT. Hey, our debate that we did last summer, Does God Exist? Battle Royale 7, Bob Enyart versus Akith. That has been a real success for us. We've got that debate in 170-page, 10-round moderated debate. And if you know an atheist or an agnostic, you could call us up, 800-8-ENYART, or go on the web and get a copy of that and share it with him. You might want to read it yourself. But February 28th, we're going to have another debate. This one is not a written debate. It's an oral debate in Denver on the age of the earth between two Christian PhDs who believe in the Big Bang and the earth is 4.5 billion years old and in some evolution they believe in, versus myself and Don Daly, science teacher from Maranatha Christian Center, who we believe that God created in the recent past, less than 10,000 years ago, in a global flood, wiped out mankind and most animal and plant life on Earth. And so those are two different models. And what does the evidence support? What does the Bible teach? And what does the scientific evidence and observation show? Well, you're invited to come to the debate Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll listen, tune in, and we'll tell you more about it. All right, now we're going back to California, and if the music is done, I can't quite tell. We'll come back with Michael, pronounce your last name for me again.
Markavich.
Markavich, a straightforward last name, the founder of BushRevealed.com. So, Michael, I didn't want to rush you, but did you have anything else to add about San Francisco before we get to your website?
Well, I just recognized it was actually with your son that I was arrested. The two of us were taken to jail together.
Yeah, so Nathaniel, that's right. Nathaniel
Enyart. I appreciated the opportunity.
Well, tell me, it's just between you and I. How's my son doing?
He's doing well.
He's
standing up for the king.
You know, most fathers are not proud of their 18-year-old sons when they first get arrested.
Right.
But in this case, it's different. I'm so proud of him.
Amen.
Yeah, he's my hero.
Amen.
All right. So Michael, about your website, give me an idea about George W. Bush, the kind of people he appoints for judges, the kind of policy and spending decisions he makes.
Absolutely. Bush Revealed was created to serve as notice to the Christian community across the nation that George Bush has compromised his quote-unquote Christian faith and as openly supporting evil and wickedness in our nation. And the purpose, we deal specifically with the spiritual issues and some of these other things that are happening.
Well, let me give you an idea of something he would never do. He would never grant benefits to homosexual partners, right?
Would he? He would never grant benefits? Yes, he would.
He would? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, with the benefits that he has granted, he was the first Republican president to ever appoint a homosexual into public office. He has appointed more homosexuals in the office than any other president. He has continuously, you know, met with the log cabin Republicans and telling us that he enjoys, you know, having these discussions with them, and he agrees completely with them. And so, well, we're seeing, you know, Bush speak out one side of the mouth, and then he turns to the Christian community and says something completely different to please us.
Well, Michael, yeah, he appointed an ambassador, homosexual ambassador, to Romania, and it was the first time we had an ambassador go to a foreign country with his male partner and at a state dinner. Now, I've got a friend who's from Romania, and she told me that her country – fellow countrymen were shocked when the American ambassador, the new ambassador, stood up and introduced his spouse, and it was a guy.
Absolutely. You know, they even protested that, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. And George W. Bush has appointed homosexuals to, you know, the AIDS czar is a homosexual, any number of homosexuals to office. But there is an article on your website from June 26th of 2002 that President Bush signed a bill allowing death benefits to be paid to domestic partners, homosexual partners of firefighters and police officers.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is happening, and we're seeing that with the new movement here now, starting here in San Francisco with this defiant mayor, defying God's law relating to marriage and defying the laws of the state of California. He is not doing anything to speak out against this. He may share a couple words, but when you really look at what he's saying, there's no strength in it at all.
Well, and I realize you and I don't know each other, and you didn't realize I was being sarcastic when I said, for example, George Bush would never give benefits to homosexual partners.
I thought you were being a little bit sarcastic.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I was, because he does, and they've constantly invited homosexuals to the White House and appointing homosexuals. And the only thing he'll say against homosexual marriage is that the people haven't spoken, or
right. It's
tradition. And those
right.
are not foundational principles on which you could win the battle for people's hearts.
Yes, indeed. You know, Bush has said about this federal marriage amendment that they want to pass. He said that he supports it. He hasn't gone all out in supporting it. But, you know, if you really look at that, and I actually called the state representative's office who wrote this up, and they told me that they're just trying to get it passed. I said, well, does this allow for civil unions? Does this allow for domestic partnerships? And the answer that he gave me is that this will only stop it in the name of marriage. In other words, if we get behind this federal marriage amendment and they pass this federal marriage amendment, what's going to happen is it's going to open the door for constitutional arguments to permit civil unions and domestic partnerships. So that's why I think he's going about it haphazardly and saying, okay, well, I support it. And then in the Philadelphia Inquirer, he said, but he believes that whatever state wants to decide how they define legal arrangements, it's to them. So That's what Bush has said. President Bush said that he believes that states should be able to make any whatever kind of legal arrangements that they want to make. And that's where he's coming from with this whole issue.
Right. And I've got the names of judges that the president has nominated, appointed, helped to get into office as the governor of Texas, that are, you know, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-feminist judges, Planned Parenthood supporters. In fact, he helped to ruin the Texas Supreme Court.
Right. And, you know, the most recent appointment of Judge Pickering. Now, I haven't confirmed this, but I encourage, you know, your listeners to take a look and research it a little bit. I think that Judge Pickering is pro-sodomy, that he is a pro-sodomy appointment.
You mean that he believes that homosexuality should be legal?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is I think there's an agenda clearly here to bring this to the forefront in our nation, to accept it and embrace it.
Well,
he's a Christian.
Well, here's what's going on, Michael, and I'll test you. If you don't mind, I'll give you a test in a moment.
Sure.
But I think Christianity is so far removed from biblical Christianity that we no longer know right from wrong, hardly.
Absolutely.
For example, let me ask you a question. If we look at the current U.S. Supreme Court, Are there any judges that are pro-life?
I would say no.
Wow.
Because what kind of, you know, people go under the banner that they're pro-life, but yet there's all these exceptions. About this is, you know, I don't consider that pro-life.
Well, let me give you my answer is that the most pro-life judges like Rehnquist or Scalia or Thomas, they say that Roe v. Wade was a bad decision And that the state legislatures need to decide the issue of abortion. That's what they say. That's what they write. That's their position. So that
right.
if Massachusetts wants to kill unborn children, then the Supreme Court shouldn't mandate it, but the Massachusetts legislature needs to codify legalizing abortion, then it's legal. So
right.
that's not pro-life, where a baby is innocent and the government has no right to kill that unborn child. Pro-life is saying the government stops the killing of unborn children,
that's
but
right.
the pro the supposedly pro-life Supreme Court justices are pro-choice state by state. If the California legislature legalizes abortion, then they would uphold that based on their own writings.
Yeah, it's tremendous of these lies that were being, you know, that are being put forth from Christians saying, oh, yeah, they're pro-life.
Right. The National Right to Life has supported so many pro-abortion candidates, you know, candidates that are, well, I'm pro-life except in all these instances mm-hmm. where I think abortion is murder, but because mm-hmm. I want to be elected, I support the right to murder some kids.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Right, and that's George W. Bush.
So that's, you know, that's one of the purposes. We want to open the discussion amongst Christians in the nation. And we've had hundreds and hundreds of emails from people who are saying, how dare you do this, and so on and so forth. It's absolutely want to ignore it. They want to push any story away. And we're just taking articles that have been written by, you know, Christian groups that probably even endorse President Bush. And
right.
And put them there.
Right, exactly.
Hey, the secular media, too. You know, it's just almost amazing. Mike, you know, you take a story from something by the Conservative Caucus or one of these other groups, and I don't know exactly all their beliefs, but I know that some of them certainly do support Bush, but we use their own material.
Well, Michael Markovich with BushRevealed.com, who is your webmaster? Who actually does the work?
Actually, the Lord just put it on my heart, and I worked a couple of nights. I worked all out through the night to get it completed. So I basically take care of all those needs. We do have a company that does some of the other
yeah.
more advanced.
Well, Michael, maybe I could send you some additional material.
Absolutely.
Let me give you a couple ideas. Remember the California court, that the federal appellate court that said the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional because it says "In God We Trust."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
And you got conservative talk show hosts all over the country saying that's the problem with the Clinton judges. We need to get Bush's judges in office.
Okay.
Well, the judge who wrote that the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional,
mm-hmm.
he was appointed by a Republican president.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone through a number of terrible, horrendous rulings, like in New York, where a convicted homosexual rapist who raped children
mm-hmm.
was giving out toy balloons in a park in order to attract children. And a federal judge, ruled that he has the right to do that in the park. He has the right. A convicted homosexual sodomite rapist, he has mm-hmm. the right. And that judge, just for an example, he's appointed by a Republican president. And on and on and on.
Yeah, this Republican platform, you know, that they have some good things that they have there, but they don't even uphold their platform when it comes to pro-life and so on.
Yeah, Michael, you're exactly right. And you know what? We're out of time. I want to thank you so much for calling into the show. And Michael, if you could say hello to or say thank you to Keith Mason for me of Survivors. And that was Michael Markovich, if I'm saying his right name, Markovich, that's it, who is the founder of BushReveal.com. I think we'll be talking more to him in the future. You might want to check out the website. And then call us. Tell us what you think. Bye-bye. All right, that was Michael was just saying goodbye to him off the air. Is that allowed to do on live radio? You can do that? Good, good. Okay, hey, this is a commercial break, so I better raise some revenue so we could stay on the air. Okay, now, after the show, you could call right now during the show. The call screener is just sitting there on his hands. Look at that. And what are we even paying him for? But you could call right now, 1-800-836-9278. And, well, you could call if you want to talk about something, but you could also call if you'd like to make a gift toward our goal of $4,000. We're at $2,400 for February. Or a pledge. You know, a $30 a month pledge would bring us to 250, and our goal is 1,000 in monthly pledges. So that would really be helpful. And then if there's somebody out there who's been thinking about subscribing to the monthly Bible study albums, this is a good time to do it because we'll count that toward this goal. And then hopefully this in February we'll meet our goal. And the way we came up with these goals is we've looked at our budget, our expenses, and we thought, what will it take to help ensure that Bob and Yurt Live will be financially secure for another year in Denver on KLTT in Colorado? And, you know, KLTT is one of the, well, it's the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. It's 55,000 watts. And if you're high up on the dial and you have a lot of watts, that's not as good as if you're low on the dial. So, for example, KLTT is way more powerful than KOA because KOA is 850 on the dial and KLTT is 670, much lower. And so it's an honor to be on this station with the signal, but we need your help to stay there. So please go on the web or give us a call. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So we have the Christians who are going to bring about, along with others and conservatives, we're going to outlaw homosexual marriage with a federal amendment to the Constitution, most likely. And that's hard to do, and that'll be a peculiarity, that process happening during our lifetimes, getting a constitutional amendment. But there will be the law of unintended consequences. What will probably happen at the same time is that homosexual civil unions will become entrenched in our laws. And so that will become a further disaster for us. And also, there will be this national wave of sympathy toward homosexuals once this happens. Now, mark my word, you haven't heard this on any other conservative talk show. When we outlaw homosexual marriages, there will be an increase in outpouring of love and sympathy and respect and tolerance for homosexuals. Mark my word. It's human nature. That's why I'm saying that. For example, let's say Bill Clinton gets voted into office, right? And so then George Bush loses to Bill Clinton in 1992. And so Clinton's voted into office, right? Rah, rah. And so 1994, what does the whole country do? They vote in the Republican freshman into Congress. Republicans win all over the country. Why? Because they suddenly like the Republicans? All the conservative talk shows at the time were saying, waving their banners and their, what do you call it, cheerleaders wave their pom-poms. And they're saying, we're winning, we're winning. 1994, the country's turning around. And I think, Bob and Yurt Live, were we the only show saying to conservative Christians that you guys are going to get mad at us, but 1994 is not going to go down as the year that the country turned around? But 1995 will be worse than 1994, and it's continuing to get worse and worse. And the Republicans who are all voted into office, they're going to be the ones passing the laws that are going to be the most damaging. And they did. And we documented it as it happened. They were horrendous. And there was no turnaround. And the people voted for the Republicans because they sort of felt bad for them. Because they had voted for the Democrats in the previous election, and Clinton won and Bush lost. So there's this natural human tendency. So we'll defeat homosexual marriage at the federal level, and then there will be an outpouring of sympathy and respect and love toward the homosexuals. In fact, mark my words. Put a circle on your calendar. Mark the tape that if we do get a federal amendment to the Constitution, and we have a Republican president who announces it to the country, he's going to announce it couched in the most supportive, respectful, terms possible toward homosexuals. That we love you, we appreciate you, we value you. You're equal in every possible way. It's just that this one minor thing, we hope you don't get too mad at us. You can't call it marriage. You can call it civil unions. You can have benefits. We'll appoint you to every possible post in the White House because we want people to know that we're not extremist Christians. We are Republicans. And as Republicans, we're following in the footsteps of the publicans from 2,000 years ago. Remember Jesus? Did he hang out with the publicans? Well, I mean, did he like them? He never met a publican that he liked. He compared the publicans with the sinners and the harlots and the tax collectors and the publicans. So we thought, well, the publicans were messed up. Let's try it again. Let's have the Republicans. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. And so we've got George W. Bush who, wow, there's a lot of conservative Christians who think that we're going to win or we're winning because of what he's doing. But, you know, Miguel Estrada is Bush's chief legislative counsel, the White House. Isn't he the chief legislative counsel of the White House, Miguel Estrada? And wasn't he a big pro-abort in Texas? And Bush brought him to the White House? Oh, wait. Oh, wait, no. I got the wrong name here. It's Alberto Gonzalez. That's who. Alberto Gonzalez is Bush's White House counsel. And Bush helped him onto the Texas Supreme Court. And he's a pro-abort, isn't he? Alberto Gonzalez? And White House officials who talk to the media off the record when they're asked who will Bush nominate to the Supreme Court, and we don't know, but the number one answer given is Alberto Gonzalez. And I wouldn't be surprised because Bush helped him get on the Texas Supreme Court. So just because he's pro-child killing doesn't mean Bush wouldn't nominate him to an important position, especially if Bush is reelected to a second term. What does he have to lose? So these things are discouraging. And if you think they're discouraging for you to hear it, if you're out there in radio land listening and you think, I don't like listening to this, how do you think I feel saying it? Because, you know, we have a passion to reach people with the message of the gospel, to fight the spiritual war, to stop people from killing children, stop the homosexual disaster in our country, fight against evolutionists, atheists, godless at schools, socialism, communism. So we're trying to fight all that. And we've got a president who appoints pro-homosexual, pro-abortion judges and all kinds of officials. And he promotes socialism and welfare with the hugest new government entitlement program that we've had in decades, maybe ever. There's a $500 billion new program that's going to cost every man, woman, and child in America $1,500 in the first 10 years on top of what we've already been taxed with the senior prescription drug program. And so we got George W. Bush doing all this stuff that's wrong. It's evil. It's wrong. For example, harboring terrorists. When he tells Israel they can't touch Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat's the father of modern terrorism. And Bush said, the Bush Doctrine, do you know what the Bush Doctrine is? If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. That's what Bush said. And he was right. So then what does he do? He tells the Jews that they can't arrest Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat is the leader of a terrorist group that is protected by George W. Bush. Why does Bush protect Yasser Arafat? Why? Because he thinks it's politically expedient. Well, why did Saddam Hussein protect Abu Nidal, a head of a terrorist group? Because he thought it was politically expedient. So what? There are terrorist groups that we're more protective of. because they haven't killed Americans. They've only killed Jews. And that's not as bad, I guess, or something. It's confusing. So, but when I point this stuff out, and our passion is to reach people with the gospel, then I point out that George W. Bush is letting us down by appointing child killers and sodomites and evolutionists and atheists, and he's a hypocrite on terrorism and so many issues. I point that out, and what do you think happens to the people in the audience who want to support the show? You think it increases by leaps and bounds? No! It's like when you tell the audience, a general radio audience, when you tell them that the public schools are destroying your children and Christian parents should not send their kids to public schools. If you let your daughter go to a public school, if you send her to a public school, you're sending her so that they will sexually harass her. Because that's what they do in school. It's systematic. It's part of the curriculum. Your daughter will be sexually harassed far more than any secretary in her entire career with a Fortune 500 firm. What will happen to your daughter will be, if it happened at a Fortune 500 firm, when the kids in the school are going to constantly be talking about her body parts and making sexual jokes and innuendo and asking her for sex and everything, how many times a day for 10 years, going to grammar school, middle school, high school, she'll hear it for 10 years, so much so that she'll get used to it. The teachers are used to it. The administrators, the principals are used to it. And if you go as a parent and say, hey, they're telling these sexual jokes to my daughter, the principal will look at you sideways and say, so what? That's what they'll think. What, do you want us to try to stop that? Are you kidding me? We have virtually no control of the kids at our school. So if you're a public school parent sending your daughter off, then you're sending her to be sexually harassed. That's what you're doing. You might not admit it because, what, you can't afford homeschooling or you can't afford a Christian school at least? So you're going to send her to a godless education system so she could be salt and light. Why don't you just sign her up with a whorehouse? Let her be a prostitute. She can be salt and light to the Johns and to the madam. That's what it's like, sending our little kids into the pit of hell. And so when we say on the show, when we say that the public school system is destroying millions of young Christian kids and that you're abusing your child if you let your child go to public school, well, think about the logistics of that. Do most Christians send their kids to public school? Yes. Most pastors, it seems, send their kids to public school. So if you go on the air and you warn people, you say, don't send your kids to public school because it will destroy them, what happens to your support base? What happens to your financial, to your revenues? Yeah, it's like, where'd it go? Went down the toilet. Just flushed it away. And we decided that 12 years ago. If we were going to warn people that the public schools will turn their daughters into tramps and probably ruin their lives before they graduate with sexual promiscuity, sexually transmitted diseases, abortions, experimenting with bisexuality, lesbians, so many girls, it's epidemic, girls in high school and even middle school. So if we warn parents about that, it's going to hurt us. We're going to get a majority of Christians who will be against the show, against this ministry. Most of the people in the audience would never support it. We knew that going in. So the alternative is to say nice things about the public schools to get a lot of money so that we can have a bigger influence. But what's the point of that? What's the point of that? So we tell people the public schools will destroy your children, and it's a sin for you to send your kids to godless people to be educated. And then we need you to support us. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. Hey, this is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right, risk the consequences.